right, let's take it live nationally on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. You are watching on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Ray Ferraro, ESPN hockey analyst, former National Hockey Leaguer. Does a terrific job also on Sportsnet, following the Vancouver Canucks. Of course, they'll lead us again and maybe lead us for
the
rest of the season if this Days of Our Lives soap opera continues out of Vancouver.
It's funny because, like, you know, when we have a guest on, Sammy just has, like, some topics that bring up for, you know, potential questions if we like them or not. The top one is just Canucks in disarray. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you say?
Yeah.
And 10 overtime losses this season?
That may be how I asked the question.
Okay.
Ray, Canucks in disarray. Just the Ron McLean leader.
Kind of rhymes.
You know, and we've accused covering the Leafs the last week and a half of not playing that much in terms of inspirational hockey. And it was kind of, you know, it was okay. They got their points. They got through it. Didn't get any of that last night on our national show with the Vancouver Canucks and the Washington Capitals. Good game. Passionate game. Played hard.
Miller and Wilson.
The Vancouver Canucks played hard.
Yeah. That was a really fun hockey game to watch.
Really fun hockey game to watch. So, you know, people are sitting there going, oh, they got to do something. And, you know, and I'm like,
maybe they're fine.
Go watch Miller out there last night where he's banging and he's in people's faces. And you can still see he's wincing a little bit on the left shoulder. Yet he's still out there battling. Mm. I mean, yeah, go ahead. Trade him. Go ahead.
But that's like, a scary thought.
It's envision that team without him right now.
Like, Tocchet has to love that. Talk about, like, your emotional leader. Someone to stand up to Wilson and just be there. Talk about, yeah. I mean, fun game. You enjoyed the Dubois chasing down Hughes at one point.
I got to
say, enjoyed. But
my biggest takeaway from watching that game last night, that if you're our boy Luke Robitaille or Rob Blake watching Pierre-Luc Dubois play this season, you want to get a dartboard with his face on it and throw darts at it. Because he was a force last night. Backhand.
Two great goals. Just, I mean, physical presence.
What did they get back for him?
Darcy Kemper. Starting goalie.
Boy, you act like that's good?
I don't know. I mean, he's not a bad goalie.
It's fine.
You know?
But, like, what the promise of what Pierre-Luc Dubois potentially can be.
More than what he's really been.
And, hey, the other side of this has come up and everywhere he's gone, and it's always soured, but when it's good, it's really good. And right now it's looking pretty good.
There's always that chance that you just got to accept that for whatever reason, it didn't work out, whether it's on Pierre-Luc Dubois, whether it was on the LA Kings, whether it was on chemistry, line mates. Sometimes you just got to cut your losses. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether or not, truly only Jimmy Rutherford and Patrick Alvin would know this, on where they cut their losses on whatever is going on in that dressing room between the two players. Mm-hmm. Is there still time for them to go, we had a good effort last night, JT Miller's still bringing it, like, come on guys, work it out. Or is it the LA Kings going, looking up here, Luc Dubois, and say, oh, we got to get him out of here. We got to get somebody out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. And you just look at the difference between what Pettersson and Miller make, right? Miller's cheaper. He's this, like, emotional leader type. You can see Tocchet loving that. Fascinating. Our Dolly Wall, we had him on last week. He was so good on our show.
Yeah. They're just, I can only imagine their daily shows.
Yeah, they must be electric right now. But he had some comment where he talked about the Zibanejad trade with Pettersson and said kind of what holds it up is that Vancouver's always asking about Schneider. They want Schneider. They want that D.
Yeah. I wrote my article today. I did some news and notes in my Toronto Star article.
Came across it in the newspaper organically. Very much enjoyed that. Nice piece.
I wrote about information that I've gathered on Zibanejad shutting down, going to Vancouver. Mm. So, you know, we're dealing with guys with no move clause. Of course, you can talk all you want, but if one turns around and says, I'm not going out there and not interested in then it's over.
So full disclosure, I just read the Berube portion. I didn't see the news notes in the print edition. So I didn't see that. It's an interesting little nugget.
So now, listen, everybody's got a right to change their minds, and there could be more pressure points in various ways. But as of today, I'm told that Zibanejad does not want to go from the New York Rangers to the Vancouver Canucks.
From one pressure cooker to another pressure cooker. Yeah,
all right, let's welcome him in. We've had him on the show before. Ray Ferraro.
Razor, how are you, Ray?
What's happening, bud? What's going on? Where are you? Where are we finding you?
I'm at home. I'm watching my 15-year-old cook lunch, so looks like a little chicken and pasta he's got going here.
Are your kids like mine where they could, like, make a sandwich, know that you're, like, within an arm's length away, not even think about making you one or, you know, giving a bite?
Not a chance.
Like, what about me? You didn't ask me if I wanted a sandwich?
Ray's watching. He's getting his lunch made.
No chance. No chance. Here's the other part to that. And when they leave, it's like 43 people cooked in the kitchen. It's like, what just happened here? You know, like, although I will say this, Reese, who's cooking right here, he doesn't. The older one, Riley, he can, and he's quite capable. He just doesn't. Yeah. He knows if he stands here long enough, somebody will make something for him.
Do they even know the fees involved in Uber Eats? You think they've got a clue on that?
No, I will say this. I don't know any parent could make a worse decision than giving their kid access to the Uber. What a terrible choice. That doorbell would... it would fall off.
Just a $43 grilled cheese every lunch.
Yes, exactly. Like, not a chance, man. No way.
So let's start off on what seems to be the hottest topic for like quite some time now, and that's the Vancouver Canucks with JT Miller and Patterson. Our producer here writes down Canucks in disarray and just leaves it open-ended. So where are you in all of this? Because I saw a pretty inspired game last night out of them against the Washington Capitals. So that in itself is a good sign for me.
I would agree. I mean, it's been a circus, right? Like since the story broke, let me put it this way. As soon as the story broke, there's no chance to shut it down. Mm-hmm. It's just going to run its course through everybody talking about it and adding a tidbit here or something they heard from somebody else here. And the story just feeds itself. There's like once it becomes a story, like how could you possibly shut it down? Like you just can't. There's I'm reading, like, how could a trade work between New York and Vancouver? How could one work between the Islanders and Vancouver? Some of the scenarios are like, there's just no chance. I'm like, how would anybody think some of these trades would happen? Mm-hmm. Like they just wouldn't. And so for one reason or like, do they think if Vancouver's plans to trade one of the two guys, do you think they're taking the dregs of your roster back for these guys? Like some of the proposals, you're like, that somebody just made that up. Like, it's not a thing. Somewhere along the line, there's been some friction. You know, people that have more in-room knowledge than me have said that. Kip, you played on a Stanley Cup winner. Did that team get along for 8 months?
Yeah.
No way.
I appreciate that everybody, for the most part, can say we've gone through teams. But generally speaking, the one that stands up last winning a Stanley Cup, it's not anywhere near from what we're hearing out of the Vancouver Canuck dressing room. That's all. I've never heard of this before.
You haven't?
Not to this degree.
It's just never been talked about.
Never been pushed. Like, Ray, to hear.
Okay, but who can? Okay, go ahead.
To hear where this has gone, clearly someone's leaking.
Where is it gone?
It's gone out of the dressing room. The players,
right?
Like,
where does that happen? Somebody tells somebody. Somebody tells another.
Yeah.
Somebody, an agent, maybe says something.
Just,
I'm not saying that it's not a thing. It clearly it has been because it has been. But because it's been talked about for months. These guys were in the same room last year. Nobody really talked about it last year.
But where is somebody to stand up, either through management, the players, or somebody to say, this is ridiculous and it's not as bad as you think? Like, drive that point home. Nobody really wants to step up and say, BS. It's all BS.
A pick
Stop
of them
it.
Sharing an In-N-Out burger would solve the whole thing.
And it's not one and done by JT Miller in 10 seconds.
It could, yeah. I guess they, well, he did do something like that, and everybody just kind of let it go for a bit.
And then they piled it on again.
Yeah, but Kip, if you want to pile it on, go ahead and pile it on. Like, what are they going to do? They can't move in together. Right? Like, what are they going to do? One guy's hurt. One guy's with the team. One guy's not with the team. Like, whatever was bugging JT Miller that he took a personal leave of absence, generally, I wouldn't think you come back and everything's fine. Whatever's going on with JT, you're still dealing with whatever pulled you away from the team and the lineup. Whatever was bugging Pettersson early in the year, he was terrible. He had his first, I don't know, man, did he go 10 games without a goal to start? Something like that? Like, really, really a tough start. So they play poorly. The story breaks. They're on the ice 4 to 5 minutes a game together. Like, it would be on the power play. Like, how much? I really don't know. How much can it detonate a team? Well, does maybe a defense that they knew they were going to have to upgrade that now got worse without Hronek, does that have more to do with it? Does Dakota Joshua going from 18 goals to a player just trying to find his game somewhere, does that have something to do with it? Do Miller going with 2 goals in 20 games have something to do with it? Does Pettersson no goals in, I don't know, 15? Does that all have something to do with it? Probably.
Could Patrick or Rutherford come out and say, I'm not trading either one of them? It's ridiculous. And put an end to it?
Yeah. Yeah, he could. Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That might help.
Unless that's not what they're thinking.
Yeah.
So
in the meantime, people can conjure up trade scenarios that they think are factual or not. The simple fact is JT Miller's agent said last week somewhere, I can't even keep it straight, nobody's talked to them. So all these trade scenarios, you can't get past first base until you talk to the player with the no move contract.
Yeah.
So this thing about Zibanejad for Miller,
who also has one.
Yeah. Well, like then it's not a thing. Now you've got to get two people to agree. Zibanejad's already said no.
Yeah.
So, I live here. It would be, you know, like on those years in Toronto when it's an absolute circus. Like this year, there's been nothing.
Yes.
Right? There's been nothing. It's been actually shocking in its quietness. But there's been years in Toronto, trade Marner, trade this guy, what goalie stinks or doesn't stink, or the defense is no good. And it's once it starts, I would say it's unstoppable. It's going to continue to be talked about. And until this part of the season is dealt with, in whatever way they choose to do it, whether one of them gets moved or not. I think there's two trade deadlines this year. I think just prior to the Four Nations, I believe there'll be a flurry of activity. And then that's the trade deadline. Because I think a lot of teams would love to get their guys in with a week to sort of get settled in there. Right? It would be kind of ideal. And then there's those 3 weeks past Four Nations to the deadline. So these are... If you're making this type of move, damn, that's a big move. Like the Dubois trade, which was 1-for-1, that was in the offseason. Could you imagine trying to make that trade and making the numbers fit and everything fit in season? It would be really logistically difficult, whether you want to pull the trigger or not.
So is there an outcome here there? Is it possible then that these guys chit-chat and they kind of sorted out a little bit? This is a 113-point team last year. You know, Demko's been hurt for a good chunk of the season. Right. Quinn Hughes looks amazing again. And I'm looking at the standings, and the teams behind Vancouver, they're in the second wildcard spot. Not great. Like, this still feels like a playoff team that still feels like, when healthy, has a ton of potential to do damage.
I don't disagree, because I believe the plan has been to add along the blue line, at the very least, from the start of the year. Now, there has not been 1 week of quietness in this season. It's literally always been something, from Demko not ready for camp to Miller, who wasn't at camp, wasn't playing games, played one exhibition game, to Pettersson's start, to Joshua's cancer diagnosis, to Hronek getting hurt, to Miller leaving the team, to this feud of whatever it is between Pettersson and Miller. I watched the game last night and I'm like, you know what? If Pettersson's playing, they probably win last night. And so you could say that with a couple of their overtime losses. You go, like, if both of their big guys are playing, do they win, I don't know, a third of those games to a half of them? Probably, right? Like, probably. They win a third of them. Anyway, now they're fighting for second and third place in the division. It's a completely different thing. Well, you can keep waiting for that, but eventually you got to make a decision. Is, can this regel? Can this be like it was last year? And if it can't, then you got to make a move, whether you want to or not, because you've got this runway to Pettersson's no trade. But we have seen countless times guys with no moves and no trades, they still get traded anyway. Somehow they figure out a way to do it. It would be easier now if that's what they choose to do. If it's Miller, then they got to get his say-so to wherever he goes. And then once you get the yes, then you got to put the deal together. Like, these are really impactful players. And so really impactful people are coming back. They're not making this deal for two first-rounders. Like, that's not what they're doing.
You're watching and listening to Ray Ferraro, ESPN, Sportsnet hockey analyst, one of the good ones out there. So, Razor, I'm watching last night again. Quinn Hughes do his best, like Brian Leetch, Bobby Orr,
it's ridiculous.
Kale McCarr, whatever it is. I don't know if he ended up with 28 minutes last night, something around there. You know, I'm also watching Pierre-Luc Dubois kind of try to ragdoll him a little bit. And, like, he's not the biggest, strongest, most physical guy. You know, is there anything going to be left of him by March and April if he's the first guy leading the rush and the first guy back on the back check? And
but what a back check.
What a back check. And all, like, I'm just worried about, like, the wear and tear on this guy catching up to him.
Well, I think they probably would too. The one thing that big minute guys do, and, you know, it's funny, when I've not really thought of it in this way, but when you brought up Leetchy, that short time I was in New York, I was always amazed. We would do a bag skate of some sort, and then the next day he'd play 27 minutes. And I'm like, could he start breathing hard ever? Like, we're all over there. My face is as red as a tomato. You know, Kip's lugging around a barrel. And Leetchy is just, like, sailing.
Yeah, after 62 on the VO bike test, yes. You know?
And then he kind of, like, they kick him off and they're like, go sit down. Yeah. You're like, enough. We got to get these other dummies on here. Quinn plays these 28 minutes and it's like Miro Heiskanen. It's like Cale Makar. Like, the great skaters, and Leetchy, I would put in that. Oh, I would absolutely put him in that group, is that they just don't seem to get tired. They don't get hit as much as you think they would. Like, remember before they redid the garden, the way the benches were angled. And so on our bench, I'll never forget this. There was a play in the corner and the puck got dumped in and Leetchy went to get it. And there was a guy going down the boards and another coming from his right shoulder from the back. And, like, you couldn't really see down in the corner. And he came out of the corner and was skating up the ice. These other two guys were chasing him. I'm like, how did he do that? Like, he should have been hit, but their skating takes him out of that. They would love to get Hughes, I'm sure, to a more manageable minute. Phil Hronek started to skate in Abbotsford.
That's good news.
Great news. Man, they need him. And then they need to go find somebody else as well. And I think, as I said, that's the plan. The problem is, I'm sure you guys are talking about now, teams that are starting to look for certain pieces. Everybody's looking for the same 10 players.
Yep.
Right? Like everybody, oh, we want a puck mover. We'd like a guy that shoots right-handed, a guy that can play both sides. We're looking for a second or third line center. We're looking for a power forward. There's like very few players that fit these things. Mm-hmm. But Vancouver's got to find somebody with a little more mobility on their blue line. It was like, what did the Leafs, as much as the Leafs have added pieces here and there, Chris Tanev to me is just like the piece that they needed. Because you put him out there, and whoever you put him with becomes a better player because Tanev's like the janitor, right? He cleans everything up. And then his minutes are just looked after. Everybody slots back in. And if we're talking specifically to Vancouver, they don't have that. Quinn's minutes are everywhere, and they're always. And that's I assume it would be a tough way to play, even with all his remarkable skills. But again, I do think that's the... I mean, that's been their stated goal, really, for a lot of the year.
I know we got to let you go soon, but quickly, just your assessment of maybe Canada's best chance to win a Stanley Cup amongst, I don't know, Edmonton, Toronto, Winnipeg, Vancouver on the outside looking in this year opposed to...
I would say that... it's funny how the conferences flip from, you know, every few years to more difficult or not. Who's really better than Toronto right now? Maybe Washington, Florida, right?
Florida. Yeah. Vegas. No one's like head and shoulders above.
That's what I mean. Like, look, I've done a half a dozen Washington games and I love the way they play. They're big and they're aggressive. And Spencer Carberry is a terrific coach. And he has got them. It took them about 6 months last year to break the old Capitals way, you know, like, cause they had a lot of guys from the 19 team and they wanted to play a little bit more upbeat and all that. And they squeaked into the playoffs. This year, they look completely different. Washington is a really good team, but a lot of those guys have never had their first touch of the playoffs. And we always know, like, I mean, a real touch. And we always know that there always seems to be a little bit of a learning curve to that. Florida is going to be a pain. They've got room, cap room. You think they'd add a defenseman. So Florida is going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. I think Toronto has an easier road than the teams in the West. But I look at Edmonton right now, Edmonton and Vegas. It's easy to say they're the class of this, but geez, would you count Colorado out?
Not anymore.
Nope.
They look like they got a guy that can stop the puck. And you're like, oh boy, that all of a sudden they become really good. But Edmonton is like, you know what I love? I think what I like about Edmonton, I like about Toronto too, is the way that they're winning right now is a way that becomes a sustainable way to win in April and May. And that's, they're not giving up a lot of goals. Yeah, you'd like to see them score a little bit more sometimes, but they score enough. And if they get into it, if you've got a one-shot chance, wouldn't you want those guys on both teams shooting it? Probably. But man, the fact that they can defend, like Edmonton's 15-3-1 right now. They're as good as anybody. The scary part of this whole thing out West here is Vegas has got cap room. What makes anyone think they're not going to use it?
They're going to be dangerous.
Somehow.
I would say Toronto and Edmonton in Canada, Kip, they're the classic.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I haven't even talked about Winnipeg and damn, I don't know. I like them too. They need a defenseman. They need a second line centerman. DeCheve move one of those draft picks. Maybe I think if you're in the top five teams, don't worry about the future. You got to go in. How many times does it all fit 1 year or the next? I'd go big game hunting if I'm them. I really would because they're a really good team.
Well, we're going to look forward to the back half of the season and get you on again real soon, pal. Thanks for doing this.
Great to talk to you guys. I hope you guys got off to a great start in the new year, and we'll see you somewhere.
All you too, Ray. Well. Thanks so much.
That is Ray Ferraro, ESPN Sportsnet.
Yeah, the Jets have all their first rounders coming up. They can do something.
They don't have to move in together.
Yeah.
God, he reminded me at Madison Square Gardens, those benches were angled. He's right. They weren't.
What do you mean angled? I didn't understand
They weren't kind of parallel to the boards. They were angled.
So what, you're farther from the ice, from the DN?
Yes, yes.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It was really dumb.
I actually really love, that's one thing about like ranks that I love is the intricacies of the different ranks. I mean, not like in you know, like in an NHL for sure, but around Ontario, around Canada, like the different ranks.
Well, in junior hockey league, and some of them are square. Some of the
I remember I played in one with my dad at a hockey tournament. It was in Pembroke, where the Lumber Kings, where Will Sheldon Keefe won all those championships, and we played in the rink. And I was like, "There's something weird about this," and the benches were on the opposite sides of the ice.
Wow!
So like the player, so it was just like you weren't. There's no last change. You just change at the same. And you're just like, well, I guess they didn't want these guys to murder each other in the 30s, so maybe they couldn't be beside each other, but it was like very weird.
That's not better. Maybe we should go back to that. I like
across?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird.
Anyway.
What do you think? You don't care.
I don't care.
Okay. game time?
Yep.
Game time.
Unless, hold on. Do you have more reflections on the Ray Ferraro interview? Any thoughts out of that?
No, but he's right. We'll just continue to hear all of this on a daily basis until someone steps up from somewhere and says either they're going, they're not going, or just... But they're going to have to find a way to quiet the noise.
It is funny because there's sometimes in a relationship, maybe a marriage, say, where you still feel like you're right about something, but you're like, just for the good of ending this, I'm wrong. You'll just say, I'm sorry, I goofed that one. You'll just say it, right? Let's just get through this. It's amazing. Buddy,
there is so many scenarios that there are so many just goofy stories like that within a room, but they just, they don't get out to this extent.
No, I know, but this is
what
I'm saying.
That's my point.
So it's amazing that they can't go out arm in arm in the media for a minute and be like, we're pals. It's fine. We're pals. Move along and end it. But they obviously are so mad about this, whatever this is, that they can't bring themselves to stage a photograph
end it. Management, ownership, coaches, nobody can bring themselves to end it.
But in these relationships that I'm talking about, there are some fights where you're like, I'm digging in on this one. This is not a place I'm rolling over. And that's what this seems to be. It's a serious thing.
So let's say, for example, we had Jim Rutherford on Real Kipper and Born, their national hour, and he comes on with you two guys, and he says, there is absolutely no way we are trading either one of these guys. We have to make this work. And then they're still like trying to trade them. But do people stop asking?
You don't say that if you... So you're saying he needs to come out and lie?
Does he have the power to
end? I'm asking, does that make any difference at all?
Well, I think people would hold Jimmy Rutherford to it would
affect your reputation,
and it would definitely affect your reputation.
So then that's why no one said anything.
It would be a lot harder.
No one wants to be the one who's the liar.
It would be a lot harder for him to say anything the next go around and have anybody believe him if he was in a position to flat out lie to you on this occasion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, lying to other people versus...
It puts credibility at stake.
Okay.
That's often, you know, we talk about GMs who might be on their last leg, and they're like, he might burn the draft picks and just go for broke or whatever. You can't do that because the next team knows you're the guy who burns things down on the way.
Yeah.
So we don't tend to see stuff
like that. Kyle got another job, so in Pittsburgh. I mean, he traded every pick.
Yeah, but over many years, not in a last-ditch Hail Mary. It was several Hail Marys. Yeah.
And I don't believe for one second it didn't hurt Kyle in some way, shape, or form.
Didn't hurt his pocketbook.
The way, listen, if that's all that matters.
He's a young man.
If that's all that matters to you,
I'm not saying that is.
I got to think, you know, you got to recover off of that ending and the way it played out and, you know, the dramatics, right? The drama.
It was dramatic.
It was very dramatic.
Okay.
Do you have game time for us there?
I do. I was liking Kipper's pronunciations there.
Yes.
So let me get it for you here. Where's my sheet? All right. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I was just looking up to try to find some of the futures because we haven't checked in on this in a while.
Hey, we got some good matchups tonight.
Okay, we can talk about that after this, but I'm just looking at some of the future stuff here.
Or during this,
but I just wanted to bring this up.
All right.
Since I am the producer.
Moving.
Wow.
You're
yelling at me when I'm talking. You're yelling at me. The Field versus Macklin Celebrini in the Calder Trophy race is quite interesting to me. So
Macklin Celebrini is minus 250 to win the Calder.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
But if you go down here and you get Lane Hutson and Matvei. Thank you. Matvei Michkov, thank you. Lane Hutson is plus 300. Michkov is plus 450. If you want the field, you can get the field for plus 200 against those two guys. So
you get Dustin Wolf.
You get everybody. I mean, there's no one really outside of those three guys that get it, but you get plus money on either Lane Hutson or Michkov.
Thank you.
Having a tough time.
Completely took himself out of the race against the Toronto Maple Leafs this week.
With the two games?
Games where he just no-showed.
Well, Lane Hudson's still in it. Maybe if you want to get some value on Lane Hudson at plus 300 there.
He just cannot keep up with those other
five-on-five, he's not.
No, he can't.
He's celebrating. He's breaking ankles like Lamar Jackson out there. It's different.
He's fantastic.
He's an average skater, Michkov. And I think he can be really good in small spaces and maybe have a good year producing, but he's not. There's nothing in his game that says you're going to watch him from one end of the ice make a rush to the other.
No, he's an offensive talent, great nose for it, great finisher, good shooter.
He'll never be Kucherov. He'll never. Oh. No.
Well, that's a massive ceiling.
Not that I see.
Yeah, he's like one of the best players of a generation. The Hart Memorial, last one I'll bring up here. McDavid's still the favorite, plus 280.
Really?
Yeah. They're guarding again.
A lot of people see Draisaitl or Kaprizov.
I can't.
If he gets healthy.
Sick. I didn't bet that.
The drive was like plus 2,500.
Is now plus 550.
MVP.
He said that at the time.
Yeah.
You got to throw Mitch Marner in there, bud.
Mitch Marner is 80-1, bud. So probably not going to win. They're giving you that number, but Connor McDavid being the favorite.
That'd be a good bet.
I don't know if it would be.
80-1 is good. It's good. It's a long number.
And he's like third in scoring, tied for third in scoring right now.
Yeah.
With no Matthews.
And not to mention in this market, he's got a lot of eyeballs.
I just gotta say, like, you know, all the voters want to make sure they don't seem too Toronto centric, so he'll never win. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll get into some news and notes, including outdoor games taking a little bit of the spotlight yesterday, and how do we feel about these.
I'm more curious about the science of it. How do you do ice?
We get a doctor on it. We get an ice expert.
Doctor. Yeah. On outdoor games when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Just to kind of follow up a little bit on Ray Ferraro, like where he's 100% accurate is when you're talking about these major pieces, man. Like, it's hard. Those are hard deals and a salary cap. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Similar pieces got to move. Similar pieces got to come back. You got to make the math work. It's just... they're not easy deals.
Well, and this is probably a crappy analogy to make, but I don't know if you've ever tried to make a trade in fantasy sports. Just says, hey, I'll give you this guy for that guy. It's impossible. No one wants to be embarrassed. No one wants to get fleeced. No, there's so much. And then you build in contracts and the human element and the families. And they're like, it's a tough thing to find a match for a guy like that.
I think, you know, the Sabinajad interest and, like, you know, whatever you've been writing about, I mean, how many guys can, like, well, they make the same amount of money and he used to be pretty good and this would be like, why not? Well, how many options do we have? Let's give it a shot.
Not many. It's the same thing when fans are like, our team needs a top right shot D. Yeah,
so
it's
does
like,
everybody.
Yeah, well, and it's like, who? Go ahead. I agree. Who is it? Who's available? And you go around the league, you're like, oh.
And that's why I thank my lucky stars every day for Mr. Christopher Tanev.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I do.
The janitor, Ray called him, which I think is a great nickname. Just cleans up all the mess.
It's a spectacular nickname.
Once again, last night, if we needed further proof that any team can win on any given night, the Chicago Blackhawks beat Colorado 3-1. Connor Bedard with a pretty good night, a goal and an assist.
Yeah.
Was contemplating whether or not we wanted to talk about Jeremy Roenick and his comments on Connor Bedard. And then I said, yeah, let's talk about it because first and foremost, like, I like JR.
Yeah.
Right? And JR's like
one of my favorite interviews we've done in the last.
We're NHL alumni, so we're all a brotherhood in many ways. And like family, there's things that you're going to love about your brother, and then there's going to be things that you don't agree with.
Of course.
So JR was rather critical on Connor Bedard not acknowledging him or Denny Savard. And who am I missing? One other?
I forget the other name, but
you're
doesn't
matter.
Yeah.
And a lot was made out of it, out of social media. And I think, first and foremost, that there's so many other elements that could have kind of played into this, including, you know, a young player still that gets pulled every which way.
By the league, yeah. This is at the Winter Classic, right?
This is at the Winter Classic. Tremendous.
Can we be honest? Maybe the reason the Blackhawks are in the Winter Classic.
I'd say that's fair.
But my point is, like, it could have been an overlapse on his part where, you know, he's, who knows what's going through his mind,
yeah.
how many things are going on. It could have just been a simple, you know, moment where it didn't get done.
Yeah.
But I don't think in any way, shape, or form, especially watching Connor Bedard over the last year and a half, that this is a disrespectful kid.
No.
Right?
I would say the opposite.
So
I'll be honest. I typically hate this kind of stuff. One of my, I know it's like an AA program thing, but it's like expectations lead to resentments. If you expect expectations, you expect people to do things, be a certain way, treat you a certain way, that's how you end up.
God, that's such resentful. A good saying.
And it's like, you don't, I think it's unfair of JR to expect Bedard in that scenario as the focal point of a massive event to have done that. And so,
go ahead. No, you go.
I totally understand everything you're saying about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't think you should go on a podcast and maybe whine about it or talk about it like that. But
you know,
probably should have gone up to.
And that's what a lot. He's
just gotten the Hall of Fame. He's a Blackhawks legend.
Sure,
you probably should have gone and made a point.
Based under the circumstances, I don't think it's unfair for you to say that. That seems to be a general feeling amongst a lot of people as well, that you shouldn't have used that platform to take a run at him, whatever the case is. Now, this is the part where I kind of get JR. And I think where he is coming from has less to do about him and Connor Bedard at the Winter Classic and more a general feeling amongst certain guys that have played the game that players today know less about their history than they've ever in any generation.
Okay.
And that's where I think JR may be have kind of gone to, and somehow, some way, maybe Connor got in the way of that.
That's interesting.
It is interesting, and I think it's a good point. A couple thoughts are just that I think this is partially typical of generations in all sports. I know Kareem felt like Shaq didn't pay him the tribute, the respect that he deserved. And, like, you know, there's that generational thing that I think happens when you step out of the limelight a little bit. I also think that your generation, when you played, you grew up watching how many teams? I don't know how many teams, 20 were in the league or something when you were watching. I think
he was watching the Montreal Millionaires. 16 to 21
when WHA joined. Like, I do think it was easier to know the history of the game when there was half as many teams.
What was the team that you were watching with Messier, the 1931 Ottawa Senators?
1927 Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah. The Ottawa Millionaires back then, yeah. Whatever they would have been called.
Yeah, no, I get that.
It should be a team called the Millionaires.
I think it was Vancouver, was it?
You know, one of the kind of chuckles we get as an NHL alumni as well is to hear some of the guys, you know, at times maybe, you know, and I'm not saying publicly, I'm just saying, you know, between amongst a few beers about how crappy the salary cap is. And it's like, buddy, go ask someone in my generation on strikes and lockouts and what we tried to fight to keep.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't for us. It was for you guys behind us to have your rights protected and to keep, you know, the growth of the game going. So, you know, you're not complaining 20 years from now that your salaries haven't budged.
Right.
And they don't know.
You guys fought for pensions and guys sat out whole years.
There's many of them that are clueless on what's happened on the business side. Now, listen, you could sit there and say, I'm a player and it's my business to go out on the ice and play, and that stuff gets looked after by others. Mm-hmm. But don't complain about it then if you're going to be that way.
Yeah.
My question, you
can't vote or complain about the president if you don't vote.
Yes.
You know?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Do you think that, I mean, they're going down at a weird road here, but like, do you think teams, you know, when they all have their rookie camps and they all have all this stuff where they do all these orientations and they do these sit downs and these meetings with the young guys,
some history,
do you think they ever would bring that up?
No.
Or talk about it?
No.
That would never be mentioned.
I'm not aware of it being mentioned.
It's interesting.
But I do because think
I think there is something to it, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely a part of it where it's like,
old guy
complains about it, but it's also right.
Economics lesson here, boys. Here, you need to know some things.
You're right.
Totally an individual thing. There's some that love the history, want to know more about it, sit down with a guy that played in the league 10, 15 years ago and say, hey, share some stories with me. I love that. Others go, no, I mean, give me an Xbox.
It is...
Is that what it is?
Give me one of those Super Nintendo.
It is crazy, though, when you look at, you know, players coming into the league now. Like, I think it's Easton Cowan, who's like, I grew up watching Mitch Marner. It's like, what? That can't be right.
Happens fast.
He just came into the league. Yeah. Like, that's
Bedard's
not.
Bedard's like, I like shooting like Matthews. It's like, what?
Yeah, I looked up to Matthews growing up. It's like the rookie Matthews you mean? Like, I mean, it's crazy.
Would have helped if we had Instagram back then, too.
Sure.
Well, or hurt. Are you sure he wanted camera
playing
phones?
Playing that Instagram, huh?
Well, in June 94, I'm sure he wouldn't want a camera phone, Skipper.
All right.
he had a car phone, the, like, wired car phone.
That was insane. That
the wired car phone. Beep, boop, beep. On the highway.
Before the wired car phones, when I first got my license at 16, I kind of ripped the phone out of a phone booth.
Pardon? What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, I just went to, like, a phone booth and ripped out the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw your picture yesterday. You're a pretty strong guy.
And then I'd go to stop at red lights and look across, and if she was pretty, I'd fold the phone up.
You're a fake one.
I was a fake. I faked it up. And I would get the double look, and I'm like, yeah, I'm 16, and I got a phone in the car.
That's amazing. I love that. I actually...
That's one of the funniest things I've ever
heard. Driving crooner, a different version of the driving crooner.
Am I going to regret saying that story?
I love that story.
It's a fantastic
story. Is Bell Canada going to come back at me at like
maybe
30
Rogers.
Years?
Honest to God.
No, there was no...
I took a picture of a phone booth today. I saw a phone, I saw one that was like, oh my God, this is like a time machine. Like an on-the-wall, put your quarters in. Which I used to use.
There was no more horrible feeling than
back when I used to tie an onion to my belt.
Well, no, it's like I'd go to the attack game with my buds, and I'd get my parents to pick me up. I'm like, I don't have a quarter.
Yeah.
Like, I guess we're walking.
You the collect call thing?
Well, yeah, we're like, come pick me up right now.
Come
when you call tomorrow, say I'm not coming
we
in.
We had a baby eats a boy.
I got a new virus. So I'm going to say you picked up a phone.
Oh, I didn't touch it, to be clear. I took a picture of it.
Oh, okay. So all right. Good. All right.
Winter Classic?
Kind of teed up a little bit. The Panthers and the Lightning to host outdoor games in Florida next season. And,
why?
Well, because every team wants one.
Sweet.
It's hockey. Everyone gets a shift.
Why don't you put it with, you know, where it's cold with good teams? Like, can the Panthers not come to Toronto to play the Leafs?
God, that'd be cool.
Why not? Like, why does it got to be?
Sell some tickets.
You got to go play it in soup in Florida in January? Like, what are you doing?
So it's
going to
be indoors. Yeah. It'd be like BC Place sort of thing where it's a semi-indoors.
Yes.
Been Which two. One? The Leafs here.
Went to the Leafs at...
He covered one.
I went to the Leafs at BMO.
Yes. Okay.
And then I went to the one in Hamilton against the Sabres where Matthews, you know, slightly cross-checked the guy and got suspended for two games with no prior history.
They no matter how many we've had for 20 years now, they're fun.
They're fun.
That's
they're
what
fun
every,
when you're there. They're
every
fun
team.
For the people.
They're fantastic.
It's for the local market.
Every fan base wants one. Every team wants one. I get it. But... I don't know. Do you have to put everyone on national TV and then cry when the ratings come? Because
the league's like, you guys just complained about us putting the Blackhawks on. What do you want from us?
Nationally, it loses its luster. You're not watching for something new.
Oh, the luster's lost.
Right? But it's gone. Locally, they're fine.
Locally, they're fine. Yeah. It's still a good, generates a lot of ticket sales and interest and gives back to the
LA's
fans.
LA's had one, right? LA's had one.
Oh, yeah, they have had one.
Dallas has had one.
Isn't there some noise at Columbus dying to get in on something? They ever got
it? Vegas had, was it Vegas and Seattle last year?
This is how memorable they've been.
I think it was. I went to the
Philly one, which was awesome.
Philly versus 2011. They've been in like seven, so.
I think it was Toronto, was it not?
No, they didn't play Toronto. Philly. Leafs have played in three outdoor ones. They played in a really weird Washington like military base one.
Annapolis.
Where they were dressed like stormtroopers. Remember that game?
Naval Academy.
Oh. Yeah, Naval Academy. Correct.
I covered that one.
You covered it.
I did.
It was 5-1, 6-1 in that game. They got killed. Yeah. It's not good. Anyways, I don't know why you need to do this.
They make a lot of money.
Listen, there was 10 people in the building until Florida started winning games last year. It's like,
well, they're winning games. So yeah, outdoor games.
It's like five home games all at once.
Is the ice just going to be pure Freon? Like, how are they going to keep it frozen?
I don't know.
One's in a dome.
Like in a fully indoor overtrack.
You know this with the football stadiums.
We got
one's in. Stadium.
They'll play at Lone Depot Park in Miami. I think that's the baseball field.
Okay.
Which has like, we used to have the big sculpture in the outfield.
Lone Depot?
I think so.
Okay.
And then Raymond James Stadium in Tampa on February 1st, which doesn't have a roof. So.
Good luck.
I mean.
At least the climate's predictable.
What's it like? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
10 games on tap tonight.
Wow.
Any of them outdoors?
No. Okay. Buffalo and Ottawa. That's a big one.
That's big for Ottawa in particular.
No, but yeah, I mean, Buffalo still wants to make people believe that.
I guess if Buffalo were to rattle off three or four in a row, you're right back in
Boston,
the thick of
Tampa's,
things.
This is huge for the Bruins.
Yeah.
They got to find one here.
Okay.
It just feels like Tampa's inevitable there, but and yes, it is big.
This one's my favorite tonight. MSG. It's the New Jersey Devils versus Steve Alakett.
The Instagram ball.
Now, can we just get out ahead of this and say Valley's comment about Instagram hockey is a very valid criticism?
Yeah.
Not of maybe of that play or that player or that moment, but it is a thing. Like Adam Oates came on our show and was like, we got to get the Instagram hockey out of Zegers' game.
I'm telling you right now, 10 years from now, we're going to watch games and we're going to go, that was an Instagram game, and it's going to be Valley's credit.
I watched the World Juniors, but there's a lot of Instagram hockey there.
And, like, you know, it's fun that there's more entertaining stuff that they're trying to do. But it kind of sucks that the best way to win in hockey is not to do cool stuff. It's just to chip it off the boards and go forward.
Off the glass and hammer somebody and chop it in front of the net.
The best strategy is to go that way, quick and hard.
Speaking of Instagram, did you catch that one clip of it's the Sopranos, but they put Jack Hughes' face on.
I did.
And I did. And Valley's face on.
Can we confirm or deny that Valley has seen this?
I don't know. I don't know, but it made me chuckle.
Yeah. Sopranos is best show. It's the most rewatchable show ever. It's so good.
You know, I went back and did The Wire because I had never seen The Wire and felt like I had to. Yeah. I've never done The Sopranos.
Really?
I did the first season.
You have a very busy life, so I don't know when you're going to...
Summertime. It's a summertime project for me.
You'll love it. Yeah. It's really, really good. Holds up. I go back and do it like once every couple of years. It's the best. It's the best.
All right.
Rangers win this one? They got to show up for this one.
Rempy's back in. Now Rempy's back. After eight-game suspension, he's back, and he says he's going to – I got to play a smarter game, he says. Bring that energy.
Is he confirmed to play tonight?
I don't know about that part.
Let's hope so.
Can't read this fast enough to get that answer.
You didn't even mention Colorado and Winnipeg tonight and Edmonton in Pittsburgh. Sid versus McDavid.
Well, see, if Rempy's playing, he's going to end up
in jail. Pick your game tonight, and we're doing it all over again tomorrow on the Real Kipper and Board Show. Our thanks to Aaron Ward in our first Leaf Hour edition of our show, and then Ray Ferraro, of course, on the national show. All right, boys, good job today. Pinehurst, number two.
Oh, what a week. What a weekend, really.
Have a great night, everybody.